Politically speaking, it has been a rather contentious week. Everyone talking about guns, everyone talking about Donald Trump, obviously, and a lot more going on. Other than the CBS News reports that you've been hearing on WCHL, we've kind of managed to steer clear of all of that, but it's something that a lot of people are talking about around here in North Carolina. We've got a primary coming up, filing period currently underway, so about time we really started talking about a lot of these issues. We're joined now in the studio by Ashley DeSena, who is our resident conservative. We have to come up with a title for you. I don't know.
Yeah.
You've been here three times already, and I still don't know.
Resident conservatives, okay.
Okay, yeah, we'll stick with that. All right. WCHL is a resident conservative, Ashley DeSena. I don't know. This still feels like I'm
We'll work on it.
We'll work on it. All right. We'll figure it out. But first of all, like, there's so many different facets of what I think is just one big Uber issue that's that has all of these different things going on. But before we even talk about it, you're a Republican. Obviously, you can't speak for the entire party, nor can anyone. But what's your take on the state of the party right now with Donald Trump in the lead, everyone sort of fighting around him?
Right. Well, you know, first year, several weeks ago now, I was convinced that it would be Cruz and Rubio to be the final two. I'm not going to back down on that. I still think that that's still my prediction. I think that Trump will fade. I know people have been saying that for 7 months now, but I just don't think that he can garner the support that he needs from a part of the party that is wary of the exact kinds of things that he is, in his way, boisterously promulgating. Things like, let's just shut down part of the internet that terrorists use. And so that's sort of against people or against the beliefs of people who hold liberty to be dear. And of course, even things like banning Muslims from coming across the border is a little bit too far across the line. I think today his latest thing is to mandate the death penalty for people who kill police officers.
Oh, right, right.
So, that's not even a power that the executive branch has. And people, most Republicans, I think, probably don't want the executive branch to have more power. So I don't think he's going to get support from a key contingent of the party. So I think that, it's still people are deciding between Rubio and Cruz, mostly once all the excitement over Trump fades.
Do you think the Republican Party, do you think it's moved in a way that we haven't seen before? I mean, because the Republican Party has always been about limited government. This is different.
I think it has. I think that Trump has done some good things in the sense that he has presented a challenge to mainstream media, which is commonly referred to as quite liberal from people who are conservative-minded. We view the mainstream media as more left-leaning than middle of the road. And so he's been able to draw criticism against that. And I think that's emboldened the Tea Party part of the Republican Party. And that's, I think, has been a good thing. They've been more able to speak openly about ideas that probably wouldn't have flown, a decade or two ago. So it's more, even though Trump is not a constitutionalist by any means, I think they feel emboldened to speak more about, constitutional goals. And instead of being a compassionate big government conservative, as George W. Bush was, they are trying, and I hope they can get the message across that you don't need to turn to government in order to be compassionate.
Yeah.
So I hope that they can refine that message, and it's compelling to me, but they're preaching to the choir. I hope that they can use that message to reach out to others who may be on the fence between Democrat and Republican and trying to see what's best for the future of the country.
Speaking with Ashley DeSena, and I'm glad you mentioned the line about being a compassionate small government conservative, because mm-hmm. I know from my perspective, and I think there are a lot of progressives out there who are probably agreeing with me on this, just sort of looking at the situation, that people like the Tea Party and a lot of the presidential candidates, our fear is that they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, in the sense mm-hmm. that they're trying to stop being compassionate big government conservatives by getting rid of the big government, and they're losing the compassion too.
Right. Well, I think that I would counter that statement by saying that if the tolerance for government programs or bureaucracies, et cetera, the EPA or education, any sort of welfare type endeavor, If it's really motivated by compassion, then I would like to see progressive-minded folks push for those programs to be as efficient as possible.
Yes.
And instead, what you often hear is that it's not the outcome that matters, but the good intentions. And, you know, good intentions, we all know where they lead. And so if it... I think that, because if these welfare programs, and, I'm lumping everything together here from Medicaid to SNAP to anything you could think of that provides tangible sustenance for people who need it. If anything is getting wasted somewhere along the road, if the program is operating inefficiently, then that's money that's not getting to people who need it. And so, that's, if it is truly motivated by compassion, then they would do their best to make it as efficient as possible.
And you have that problem with foreign aid too, right?
Oh, yes.
Depending.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's always so tenuous if it's going to get to the people that really need it.
So a couple of issues have just sort of been dominating the news recently, for better or worse, and I would say for much, much worse, but such is the way of the world this week. And the two issues have been guns and gun control, and then policy towards people coming, blanket issue, policy towards people coming into the country, and what mm-hmm. should be the restrictions, what should be the methods of allowing people in, what should be restricted, what should not. Donald Trump is saying we should ban all Muslims from coming into the country until we figure out what's going on, which someone described that as the Marvin Gaye approach to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought that was a good one, but where should we stand on this? Because we do care about security, but
right.
where should we stand?
Well, I think we can both agree that a ban on any religion or religious group is not going to be an effective way to make the country more secure.
Because, or an okay way to...
What will they do? I mean, they'll say, are you Muslim? No. And then it's like, okay, come on in.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about that.
So it's not going to be, there's just no way that can be an effective policy. I mean, it's symbolic at best.
And even if it were effective, it's not okay, right?
No,
yeah.
No. I don't believe it's okay to discriminate against people based on their religion.
It's a shame that we've gotten to the point where we all have to say that out loud, and it's not just taken for granted.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way I feel about guns too, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I there's people who are Second Amendment proponents, and by that I mean for personal gun ownership, feel like we need to promote that right constantly as well. But I think that's okay. I think it's good for people to reassert their rights whenever it's needed. But yes, I don't think a religious test is a constitutional means of securing the country, and I don't think it will be effective in any regard.
We've got to wrap this up before we go. I mean, my take on all of this is, and like really the thing that jumped out at me to sort of reading all about this, crime is down. In the United States, crime is down and has been trending down for literally decades. You got to go back to the 70s to find the. I think there was a little peak in the 80s, but other than that, you got to go back to the 70s to find where a spike in crime has been trending down ever since. So all of this that we're hearing about, the fear, the oh my God, there's people lurking around every corner. This is all sensationalism, and this is all. I'm with the media. I've got a microphone in front of me. I'll blame the media for this. Like, we're trying to get ratings by making people afraid of each other. And I think that's the problem here. Like, that's the problem with the gun issue. That's the problem with the mass shootings issue. And the fact that I'm even saying the phrase mass shootings issue is a problem just in and of itself. And that's the problem with immigration. That's the problem with Donald Trump. It gets back to the fact that there's people who have an incentive and the power to drum up fear. And I think we got to stop doing that.
Yeah. Well, that's quite a challenge you've set up for yourself and the rest of the media. I mean, I think that's the ideal here.
And it is. But, I mean, like, it really is the meat. And it is a tough challenge because you can get more money by making people afraid, but there's a moral imperative not to.
Sure. I mean, just to go back to your statistics there, are you talking about gun violence or just all crime?
I think violent crime in general is what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's interesting. And I think that the fear motivator, if you read about gun control debates, you know, from either side, you see finger pointing about saying, no, you're the one that's trying to make people afraid. And then, you know, the other side says the same thing just for a different reason. So, you know, the problem is that it comes down to a clash of core values when it comes to gun control. So I think that's what makes that debate seem so tribal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a solution. We just have to get there. It's going to be like 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
We have, you know, flying cars and, you know, we don't have to. Are the guns of today will be so primitive, but maybe. So, you know, we could keep debating this.
We're
going to
have
hours.
An optimistic conversation about this someday. Just maybe not today.
Sure.
All right. We got to let you go. But Ashley DeSena, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you.